Thank you for coming to God's precious house this morning. Give God the glory, the honor, the praise. Let's magnify Him. Praise God. Good to see every single one of you here. We're going to turn our Bible this morning, go into the book of 1 Kings. The book of Kings. 1 Kings, please. And we're going to turn to chapter number 20. I want to pull a little phrase out of here and try my best to preach on something that you don't hear preached on too much. Matter of fact, it's been a long time since I heard anybody preach on it. Amen. They don't talk about this. They mention it and don't look at it too much. And so many people, if you don't preach on things, they won't know nothing about it. And a lot of times they don't know the way life is. And that's why we get so many different clouded ideas about the issues of the Word of God. We don't get into it and find out those things. So I want to look at 1 Kings chapter number 20. Appreciate everybody in here. Appreciate you being here. Appreciate the singing. I give God the glory, the praise, the honor for all that He's doing and has done and will do. And let's stand, please, and read together in the book of 1 Kings. And we're going to chapter number 20. And this got a little bit to do with Ben-Hadad and Ahab. And we're going to deal with that. We're not preaching on them two in particular, but just a phrase that Ahab said. And try to apply that to a Christian life. The Bible said in 1 Kings chapter 20, "And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together. And there were 32 kings with him, and horses, and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria, and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab." You know, Ahab now was the king of Israel. And he was a wicked king. And he said, "And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, 'Thus saith Ben-Hadad, thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliest, are mine.'" Ben-Hadad said, "Now I've got everything that you've got's going to be mine." He sent him a message. Verse number 4 said, "And the king of Israel answered and said, 'My Lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have.'" Verse number 4, "And the king of Israel answered and said, 'My Lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have.'" I'm going to read verse 4 one more time. You thought I just went crazy and didn't know what I was talking about. But verse 4, because the phrase I want to talk about is in this verse. "And the king of Israel answered and said, 'My Lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have.'" And I want to preach on this morning, "I am thine and all that I have." You can be seated. Amen. Let's pray. Father, give us, Lord, the wisdom of God. Lord, give us the unction of heaven. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost, the heaven searchlight, the beams of glory might shine down on our darkened souls this morning. Lord, show us wherein our sins are. God, where our transgressions are. And Lord, what our iniquities are. God, may you this morning open our blinded eyes to the truth of the precious Word, that somehow, Lord, we might see ourselves as you see us and not as we see ourselves. Lord, I pray today that the power of a resurrected Christ might search with the heavenly search beam, Lord, the souls of men. Lord, as we're preaching this morning, I pray it be under the power and under the anointing, Lord, under the shadow of the Holy Ghost of God, that we might say what needs to be said, no more and no less. Lord, I pray that your will might be done in our hearts and lives. We'll give you the praise and the glory, for it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen and amen. Now, I want to look at some scripture this morning, and I want to talk about our will for a minute. And I want to deal with something. I want to turn to a verse of scripture. You can hold your place there just for that one phrase if you'd like. And I'm just using that scripture. As a fellow said one time, we'll use it as a springboard or a jumping off place to get where we need to be, what I believe God wants us to hear. In the book of Luke, and in chapter number 22, you don't have to turn unless you particularly want to, but Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane just before that He gives His life on the cross of Calvary for you and me. And as He's praying, He prays this prayer, saying, "Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me." But here's what Jesus says, "Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." Now you said, what in the world does that mean? Now I want to tell you something. Brother, Jesus didn't pray that as God. He prayed that in the humanity. For as God, brother, His will was God. Amen. And He was not separated from God the Father. But when He prayed that little prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, what He's saying is this. He's saying, not my will, this physical will, my personal will. And He's talking about His humanity. He's talking about His personal flesh. But He's saying, but Thine be done. Brother, when Hadad came and said, all you've got, Ahab, is mine. All yours is mine. And then the king consented and said, what I have. I said, I am Thine and all that I have. Brother, that ought to be the prayer that we pray this morning before the throne of God. And brother, God ought to have complete control of you and me. And brother, it ought to be my will to be God's will and it be together. God's will ought to be my will and my will ought to be God's will. Your will ought to be God's will and God's will ought to be your will.
Amen.
Amen. And when you pray, you ought to seek the face of God every time you pray. Pray that God's will might be done in your life. We're so foolish we get at the throne of God. We call out to God and this is what we say. Lord, give me this. Lord, give me that. Touch me here. Touch them over there. Lord, do this and do that. And we'll say amen and amen. But I'll tell you what we ought to pray. Lord, let Your will be done in my life. Whatever I face today, let it be Your will and not my will. And whatever comes, give me the grace that I'll take the will of God over the will of the flesh. Amen. That ought to be our prayer. Now let me give you some things about it. In the Word of God you can find where we can have surrendered wills. Matter of fact, if your will's not surrendered to God, it's no good anyhow. We can see in the Word of God that you can have a rebellious will. Brother, you have a will. What in the world, first of all, before I get any further, what is the will? What's the will that you have? What is your will? Amen. Well, the will, if you look it up in a dictionary, it's the choice that you have, that you can make in life. Amen. And we'll look a little bit further, you'll find out it's the direction that you desire to go in. Matter of fact, your will, it basically, in a nutshell, simple as I can put it this morning, is doing what you want to do. That's your will. What you choose to do, you can do. Now I want to tell you something. If you want to go to hell, brother, God will give you that will and you can go to hell if you want to. Brother, you can go to heaven if you want to. Brother, that will must be directed that way. Now I want to talk about some things. You can have a surrendered will, as I said. You can have a rebellious will. You can have a stubborn will. Some of you got a stubborn will this morning. All of us have had a stubborn streak in us from time to time. Amen. I ask your husband, I'll guarantee you, he'll tell me you got a stubborn will. I ask your wife and she'll tell me you've got a stubborn will. Amen. Kids have stubborn will. My daddy used to say you got to punish your kids and you got to discipline them. You've got to break their will. If you never break the will of your child, brother, to be the will of yours, you'll never accomplish anything and they'll run over you. And brother, one of these days you'll pay the price down the road. Amen. That's right. Brother, down on the job, if they don't get your will, brother, you'll be a sorry employee. Amen. When you go on the job, you go down there high-minded and said, I'm going to do my job like I want to do it. You won't be on that job long. Amen. Your will has to become their will in that job respect. Amen. Sometimes we can have an evil will. Then the Bible teaches us we can have a selfish will. I'm not going to preach on all of them. I don't have time. But I want to talk about something. I want to talk about three wills that we can look at this morning. Brother, here's the three wills that are important. And we're going to deal with this and I pray that God will help us. And these are alliterated if you like it. We'll start with the word D if you will. And I want you to look at it. Write this down. First of all, there is the divine will of God. Write it down. There's the divine will of God. We'll come back and look at these. The divine will of God. Number two. We're going to talk about this morning the demonic will. Amen. That'll be the will of Satan. Brother, we're talking about the demonic will. And then we'll talk about the third one, and this will get all categories. Brother, all the other things I've talked about will fit in all this. But then there's what we call the depraved will of man. The depraved will of man. Somebody said, what in the world is that? I want to deal with that in just a minute. Amen. The Bible teaches us, brother, that not all has been saved, but when we are saved, guess what? We are saved by the grace of God. Amen. I want you to take your Bible, please, and turn with me just for a little verse of Scripture, and then we'll come back to what I'm talking about. John chapter number 1. John chapter 1, just to show you that there's different wills in the Bible. The Bible said in John chapter number 1, verse 11, the Bible said, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. The Bible said, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. See that? The will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Brother, let me tell you, we're born by the will of God. Amen. We want to talk about that just for a minute. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Now I take this little pen in my pocket. Did you know that pen right there is completely 100% surrendered to me? Did you know that? Amen. This is what God wants you to be to Him. Look here. This pencil, if I got somebody come up here this morning and we're going to write a little letter, and you put your hand on my hand, I'm going to have a rough time writing. Two of us can't write the same thing. Amen. But brother, I want to tell you this. That pen's in my pocket. It'll stay in my pocket. It hasn't tried to get out all morning. It won't try to get out the rest of the day. It'll never do anything but sit there till I pull it out. And brother, it'll start marking when I begin to put it down and write on it. Because its will is my will. Amen. And it's surrendered to me 100%. I haven't felt it knocking on my chest and saying, I want out of here. Brother, it hadn't refused to do anything that I've asked it to do. Why? Because it's surrendered. Now that's what God wants you to be this morning to Him. He wants you to be like my pen in my pocket. He wants you to do what He wants you to do, when He wants you to do it, the way He wants you to do it. Brother, He wants you to be on time, every time. Amen. He wants you to stay with Him. That is the perfect will of God. This suit I've got on, brother, it's surrendered to me. Amen. It hadn't been pulling at my body all morning and said, I don't want to be in this. Amen. It don't want to be in the pulpit. It's not going to take me because it is surrendered to me. This building this morning is surrendered to you and me. And God wants us to be surrendered that what He wants, we want. And what we want is what He wants. And we don't want anything but what God wants. And we want to stay in the perfect will of God. We don't want Him to be let to be put out permissive and let us just walk away from God. He wants us to be where God wants us. Now we got all that. Now let's go back and look at this. Not too many times do you hear anybody preach on the will. I believe you got a will. Amen. You got a body, you got a soul, and you got a spirit. Brother, in that you'll find that you have a will. That will is what you choose to do. Now let's look at this. First of all, we talked about a while ago, a divine will. Now what's the divine will? That's the Father's will. That's the will of God. What is the will of God? It's summed up in the Scripture. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. Brother, God's will is to save the uttermost. Amen. From the guttermost, I want you to know. God's will is to pick you up out of the mire, out of sin and degradation, out of the pits of hell, so to speak. It's God's will to change your life completely, wash you whiter than snow in His precious blood. It's God's will that you go to heaven. It's God's will that you be born in the family of God. It's God's will that you be saved. It's God's will that you walk and talk in the light and do and live the way this book says. That is God's will. That's the divine will of God. Brother, we go on and on from that. Amen. That's called the perfect will of God. Now, we'll talk about the demonic will for a moment. The demonic will transpires and comes from the devil himself. And the demonic will is opposite of the divine will. The demonic will is in direct contrast to the divine will of God. Where God wants you to go to heaven, the devil wants you to go to hell. Brother, where God wants you to have joy, the devil don't want you to have joy. God wants you to have peace. Brother, the devil don't want you to have... You said, preacher, why in the world do I have such troubled life? Amen. I want to tell you something. I believe you can control your destiny to the extent, brother, of your will. Amen. You said, preacher, I believe. Here's what somebody said, and I know people I've talked to. They'll say, preacher, what is will be. Amen. I heard people said, well, what happens, happens. There ain't nothing you can do about it. I've come in contact with people like that. Somebody said, well, I tell you what, I don't believe I have it. I just have to take what God gives me. Amen. But listen, it can be a lot easier on you. You may believe this morning that troubles and trials have come your way just because God's sitting on the throne of heaven this morning and He just desires to see you miserable. I want to tell you, I defy you. Give me some Bible this morning to tell me that God wants you to be miserable. I read from Genesis to Revelation that God wants you to have full joy. God wants you to have full peace. God wants you to have full happiness. God don't want to have anything bad to happen to you. God wants good things to happen to you. Well, why do we have things happening in our life that we just don't like? Amen. Because you've got a will that's not surrendered to God. And brother, God's will is for you to be in His will. And He's trying to get you in His will. And you are rebellious against God. Amen. I can kind of give it to you like this. I can kind of always come back to the home and the family. Seems like where it all gets started anyway, isn't it? Amen. You got your children. I'll tell you, if you're much of a daddy, if you're much of a mama, you want your children to have the best. Now, you're not too much concerned about what they got down the street at the neighbor's house. You're not down praying, Lord, I want you to bless my neighbor's kids. I want you to give them the best and give them all that you can give them today. No. You're down on your knees saying, Lord, I want you to bless my children and bless my family. You're not much of a mama or daddy if you're not praying that way. And you want your children. Brother, you got to be a sorry mama and a sorry daddy to want your children to have the worst. Amen. And sometimes you'd like to take and wring their neck. And sometimes you'd like to beat the devil out of them. Amen. And sometimes you're not always where you want to be. I get in the modern day is kids say to the parents, I want you to love me. Now, I did this, but I don't want you to hate me. Now, that's a modern term that this world's hatched out, the devil's hatched out. A mom and daddy cannot hate their children. Amen. It's right with God. If you love God, I don't care what your children do. They may break your heart, make you weep all night, not sleep. They may make you lose a table times and brother not eat. They may make your hair grow cold and old and gray and fall out. But I'll tell you, you still love them. Amen. You still love them. And so you know you'd still bless them if you could, but there are just some things you can't give if you've got a rebellious child. You can't give a rebellious child everything that it wants because you love them. I know you love them, but somehow judgment has to come. Now listen, will has to be based upon judgment. What you do, you get something in front of you that you've got to make a decision on. Now guess what? You make it to judgment. You do a judgment on it. Said, what is this going to do to me? You look at what it's going to do at the end. And you look at the judgment part of it. And then you, to your best of your ability, you look at that. And you said, this is what I'm going to do. And that is your will. Now you hear the gospel preached. You hear the message of Jesus Christ dying on the cross of Calvary. You hear that He went to the grave and rose again on the third day. And you hear that there's a life in Jesus Christ. If all you'll do is just receive Him into your heart and confess your sin, you can be birthed in the family of God. You look at that. This is your will. This is a judgment of it. You make a judgment upon that. You said, based upon that, I believe what I'm going to do is give my heart and life to Jesus. And that's your will to be saved. And God saves you. But you can also look at it the other way. Based upon that, yeah, I believe that's true. But I've got a lot of living to do. I've got a lot of life to live. I've got some other things to do. I've got some wild oats to sow. I've got some more things that I want to get accomplished in life. And so I'll take my choice and I'll put it over here and I'll say, right now, I'm going to say no and I'm not going to get saved. And you can die and go to hell. That's your will. But that's not God's will. Amen. You understand that? I'm trying to make this as simple as I know how. Somebody said, but God knows. God knowed me before I was born. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Shout. Praise God. I mean, he'd be a bad God if he didn't know about you before. Amen. Then you're going to, if you don't believe that, go in the book of the Revelation and scratch out the first. You can circle that and say, glory to God, amen. But look over there at the last. Shake it out. Scratch it out. I read in the Bible, he's the first and last. Amen. Go down the part where it said he's the beginning and the end. Circle the beginning and say, hallelujah. And go over the end and scratch it out. But God knows the end from the beginning. You said, but God has chosen some before they was ever born. He said that Jeremiah, he said, I knew thee when you was formed in the womb or in the belly. And he said, I've already chosen you to go preach. Amen. Does that mean that God had already called Jeremiah? It simply means that God knew that Jeremiah was going to answer the call when he come to this walk of life. And it simply means that God knew the end from the beginning. And brother, he knew that one day I was going to give my heart and life to him. And brother, before the mud seals the world's ever laid, God knew that I was heaven bound. And brother, that is the foreknowledge of God. That's the wisdom of God. Amen. Now, if you don't believe this morning, you got a choice. And you make that choice, and some people believe that some have that choice, and some don't have that choice. Did you hear me? Some believe that some got a choice, and some don't have a choice. Now, if I believe that some didn't have a choice, then what I'm going to say is, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, amen, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. The Bible teaches us that God sent forth His Son and He died for all mankind and He gave Himself for a ransom to all. Brother, God has made the plan of salvation to every single man. He's got a will. God didn't put it. Listen, if you're saying this morning He don't have a choice to make, then what happened to a certain few then is God has put strings on them and they have become puppets and God's pulling the strings in glory and letting some get in and not some get in. I want to tell you this morning, God give it to all. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life. The Bible said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. That's pretty plain, isn't it? Woo! I'm glad God's salvation's real. Brother, we got a will. All right, we find the demonic will. It's the opposite of God. The devil wants us to go to hell. The devil wants us to be corrupt. The devil's will is for us to be wicked. The devil's will is that we be lost and never be saved. All right, then we talk about the depraved will for a minute. What's the depraved will? Be depraved. Amen. Depraved means corrupt. Depraved means wicked. Depraved means ungodly. Every man and woman and boy and girl was born depraved. In sin, we've been conceived. I mean, we've been shapen in iniquity, David said. I didn't come in this world and become depraved. I was born that way. I didn't come in and get lost. I was born that way to start with. Although I know God has taken care of a state of time of innocence. But there was a time you reached the age of accountability knowing right from wrong. And when you did, brother, there you are. You've got a will now to choose what's right or what's wrong. And if you choose to follow God and give your heart and life to Him, God wants you to come His way. Amen. Now guess what the depraved will's got to do? Since you was born with that demonic nature to you, since you was born with a satanic, I guess, influence. And guess what? There's a divine influence on this side. There's a demonic influence on this side. Here you are in the middle. Brother, you're having to make a choice. Do I want to run with the devil? Do I want to run with God? And God tells you there's a heaven to shun, to gain, and a hell to shun. God tells you that salvation's yours. And the devil says you don't need that right now. And he makes all kinds of things. So your depraved will looks at that and said, well, I want a little bit of the devil. And I like a little bit of what God says. And so nature and flesh tries to walk down the middle. Brother, when you sit down the middle, brother, you're not all for the devil. You're not all for God. And guess what you do? You end up without God and go to hell. You can't go to heaven holding the devil in the left hand. You can't go to heaven with the world in the left hand. You've got to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. He saves you. Amen. Is this understandable? Can you understand what I'm trying to make this as simple as you can know to understand this about the will? I've got a will. Nobody ever told me these things. I had to search them from the Scriptures. Brother, I've never even heard anybody talk about the divine will, the demonic will, and depraved will. I'm just trying to put it in terms so we can understand that. That's not theological terms that I've studied out down through the years. I never heard another preacher preaching. But I'm telling you this morning that there are those. You may have heard somebody say it, but I haven't. But I look at these things and I realize today that I must make the right choice. You've only got one shot through this world. And if you make it wrong the first time, brother, you don't have another chance for it. And if your will is to run with the world and the devil, or run with half the world and half the devil, then you've made the wrong choice. But you've got to be surrendered to God. Now let me talk about the surrendered will of God for just a minute. And I've got to hurry. Every time I get on a message, it seems like I just get to drawing it out so long. And I don't mean that. But I want you to understand what we're preaching. I believe a surrendered will has got to have three things. I believe to be in the perfect will of God, you've got to have three things. Number one, there must be some repentance. You must repent of your sin. Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what John the Baptist preached. That's what Jesus preached. And the Bible said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We must repent. There must be some repentance. Secondly, there must be some humility. You've got to come humble before the throne of God. I don't believe you can come up with a smart attitude before God and say, I'll take you as my Savior. I believe you'll have a broken heart. You'll come before God and you're going to say, I'm a sinner. I have sinned against Thee and before God and before heaven. And God, I want You to forgive me in repentance. And I believe that repentance and that humility must run together to get salvation. Number three, there must be some obedience to the will of God. Brother, you've got to be obedient to the Spirit when He draws you and you come before Him. And there must be some obedience to the Word of God. Brother, I believe after salvation, repentance, and after humility before God and salvation comes into your heart, the next thing is that you need to learn to obey the Scriptures and obey the Spirit of God. And without obedience this morning, it's impossible to please God. And we look at the Word of God this morning and we must obey God's Word and be willing to live the way God wants us to live. It's important. Now many of the Old Testament saints prayed. Matter of fact, all the Old Testament saints prayed. Some, like the New Testament saints, a little, mediocre, and some prayed a lot. And I know, just like the New Old Testament, brother, some prayed and got results. Some prayed in the Old Testament and didn't get much done. In the New Testament, I find that some have prayed, got a lot done. Some have prayed more. The more you pray, the more you get accomplished. And then I find that the Old Testament saints prayed for the power of God to come upon them to do the work of the Lord. But in the New Testament, we've got the power already in there. We don't have to pray for the power of God to come down on us. We've got the power of God in us. What we do now is pray that God give us the obedience to follow Him and get to the place that we have the ability and want to have a surrender part of our life. My part, I get up and pray and ask God to help me. But not many times do we pray, Lord, help me to have a surrendered will. See, you want what God wants for you, but you want it your way. Served on your platter. Served on your table. On your calendar. And it's your watch. But God wants to give it to you His way. And that only way we get that is when we are obedient to God. You understand that? Now, let me give you some things that you can tell that you're not going to get your... yet your will's not right. I'll give you three things, and I'm going to close this morning, that you can recognize that you're not where you need to be, and your will's not God's will. I believe you'll see this in your life every day. Number one, I believe somebody that has a surrendered will to God, I believe their temper will be under control. You're going to run around getting mad at everything that's happening, you're not surrendered to God. Fella bows up in front of you and stops because he almost hit somebody else, and you're, idiot! You're not surrendered to God. Amen. There's a tell in the news this morning. Heard my wife in there talking. I thought, boy, was somebody in business. Found out she's just talking to them because of something they said. She's just answering them back. Understand? Amen. I mean, here comes somebody around the corner at Walmart and they nearly run over you. And you're pulling back and you get over there and say, did you see that idiot almost run over me? If you're surrendered to God and obedient to God, you just say, hey, thank God I didn't get killed. Amen. But most of us, we tell by our temper. Amen. You come home in the evening, why I said this, and you said, what? I told you not to do that. Boy, you're surrendered to God, boy. Your temper. Now, it may look like I'm meddling right here, but I'm talking about your will. And I'm just scratching the surface on this message. There's a lot of stuff to talk about here. And I'm sparing you. I'm watching my watch. You quit watching yours now. Amen. Hear me. Temper, number one. Number two, you can tell where you surrender or not by your tongue. You said my tongue, that's right. The way you talk. Amen. You get off down there at the restaurant and you're talking about the politics and the car race and the ball game, the politicians. You come to church and you change your attitude and talk about something else. Some of you. Amen. And you're with the world crowd and you just talk like they do. You're with the church crowd and you talk like they do. Your tongue deceives you. Tongue. Amen. He'll tell you. You ever thought about this just a minute, about the temper and the tongue? You ever notice lambs? Sheep are meek and gentle. Amen. Have you ever seen, I don't know, I hadn't dealt with sheep, but it's very seldom you'd ever find a sheep that's aggressive. Talks about a sheep, they take him before his shears, he's dumb, he just stands there and lets them take all the hair off of him. Can't wonder what they're doing. And then why'd they do that? Sheep can be led to slaughter. What about a wolf? Anybody ever think about a wolf? Did you have to teach him to be a wolf? He's born with that nature. Well, for you to get out of that wolf nature and be a lamb, well, we could have talked about the sheep and the goats here, amen. But I won't want anybody to go out and say, the preacher called me a goat. Probably what you do, amen. But anyhow, you don't have to teach a goat to be a goat. You can teach him sheep's ways, but he'll never go sheep's ways. He's not a sheep. He's a goat. He's born that way. And it's going to take a birth to get that out of him. Thought about this now? Not only the temper and the tongue, but the third thing that you can tell will be pride and arrogance. If you're in the will of God, your pride will be broken. If you're in the will of God, your tongue will be for the glory of God. And if you're in the will of God, brother, your temper will be right. And we know that all of us are not in the perfect will of God. This is one of them invitations that ought to be for everybody. We ought to bring the altar to every pew today. You with me? The will of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to what I read this morning. The king of Israel answered and said, "My Lord, O king, according to thy saying." Here's all what I want to say to the Lord this morning. Here's what I desire for you to say unto the Lord this morning, and mean it from your heart to the Lord. "I am thine, and all that I have." If we could just do that this morning, and get on the altar of God and say, "Lord, I am thine, and all that I have. I'm yours, Lord, and all that I have." I would to God I could get right there. It's hard to break that stubbornness in me. It's hard to break that temper in me. It's hard to break that pride in me. But my desire this morning is my will be God's will. Lord, all that I have is thine and I'm yours too. That ought to be our prayer. Heads bowed.